may then take this opportunity to welcome the minister and the deputy minister and further congratulate them for their appointment as political aides in the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. This is the first meeting whereby we are meeting the department. I think it would be wise and proper for us to start by introducing ourselves so that when we continue the discussions, we know very well who's here and what position that particular person occupying and what role is that particular person playing within the department or outside the department. Therefore, without a waste of time, can I start by introducing myself? Members of staff first, then followed by the support staff of the legislature, then the officials of the department and others who follow. I'm Kungzene Ngwenyimabila, deployed as the chair of this committee, the Follow Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I am Kungzile Justice Mnguni, deployed as the committee whip. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and congratulations to the Minister of Scandal, and the committee members of the Education Committee.
Thomas Walter, support member from the committee.
Support member.
My name is Chiro Manager. I support this committee as a content advisor.
Good afternoon. My name is Funda Nyanza, committee secretary of the portfolio committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Sakasa.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Kudu Nzizi.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kwacha, Deputy Minister.
Good afternoon, my name is Jean Sarkis. I'm the Deputy Director General for Corporate Support Center.
Good afternoon, I'm Thapelo Motsweneng. I'm the Acting Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Rural Development and Land.
Good afternoon. My name is Mkhuthuzo Shabane. I'm the DG of the department.
Good afternoon. My name is Fiona Archery. I'm the Deputy Director General for Rural Infrastructure Development in the department.
Good afternoon. I'm Mkhuthuzo Shabane. I'm the Chief Planning Commissioner.
Temba,
Chairperson, I'm Max Zinski, the head of Office of Destiny Support.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. I'm Priscilla Bartlett, Deputy Minister.
Mohamed Costa, Media 11 Officer for the Committee.
Bukola Babalola, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good afternoon, all. My name is Amin Mia. I'm the acting CEO of Ngomi Amatosh Hall.
Good afternoon. I'm Duncan Parkis, acting executive manager for Ngomi Amatosh.
Good afternoon. I'm Sulu Kiyama, media relations at Ngomi Amatosh Hall.
Good afternoon, Barsa Metaps.
Chicago Mama Barsa, visiting member.
Thank you very much for the introduction. We also welcome the visiting member. The register is circulating for us to sign. Any apologies? This is can you introduce ourselves, this is the back. Backbenchers. Jolien van Wyk, Landbouweer Vak Magazine.
Good afternoon, my name is Samantha Wakumana from the Legal Research. Good afternoon, Marion Grove from the Legal Research Center.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wada Matana from the Center for
Good afternoon,
thank you very much. I think now we know each other. Any apologies? Honorable Sir.
Thanks, Chair. I would like to round up our program to guide the business of our colleague constituency work.
Thank you, Chair. No apologies, Chair. Members, we have got only one apology. Chairperson, my apology for leaving the meeting here because of medical purposes. I have an appointment. Two apologies, verbal apologies presented. The first one's from Honorable Mshomo, who's attending other political engagements. And the second one is from Mam Makasa, who's got an appointment with a doctor. I think those apologies have been loaded. Without the waste of time, can we then proceed? Let me welcome each and everyone who is here in this meeting. We know that the parliamentary activities are open to everyone, to the public, except if the meeting, a decision has been taken that it should be a closed meeting. You are all welcome. I think in this first meeting, the first meeting of the fifth parliament, we were expected as parliament to engage the department, where the department is expected to appear before the committee to present to us what is it that they are planning from now to 2019. and also present the ACP. What is it out of that broader plan? What is it that they are planning to do in this financial year 2014-2015? The department can have plans, but if the plans are not resourced, it will just be a futile exercise. We are aware that our responsibility as this committee or as parliament is to give the budget, the department, the resources after considering the plans, both the threat plan and the annual performance plan. We must provide them with the resources for them to be able to but not ending there. We need to further continue. While giving them the resources, we need to continue oversighting whether are they able to execute what they plan to do in that financial year or in this financial year. Were the resources used effectively, efficiently and economically? Was there any value for money on the resources that were allocated to them? Did the public or the citizens of South Africa benefit from the program? Because the intention of the budget is to change the lives of the people. We must make sure that the budget really works to change the lives of the poor people, especially those people in rural areas and farms and other areas. So that is the intention of today's meeting, whereby the department is briefing us about its strategy plan, which is a broader plan, aligning to its annual performance plan. We know that around September, departments are expected to provide us with the annual reports, but we will not await the annual reports. We know that during the process there are quarterly reports which we are expected to get from the department to see whether are they making it or breaking it with the resources that we have allocated to them. Are they able to execute what they plan to do? If there are challenges, what are the challenges? Because the intention here is to assist the department. As parliament, we are also to assist the department to be able to deliver what it has planned to deliver. Therefore, colleagues, without the waste of time, I think this is a very important department. We've got two DMs. An important department which has got an important role to play, especially addressing the issues of the past and improving the lives of the rural people, and also in making sure that the rural, there's improvement or growth of the rural economy. Minister, Deputy Ministers, you're welcome. Minister, I will still turn over this opportunity to you. And if then the DG, I think we will follow. Thank you.
Good afternoon and thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and officials. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present the plan of the department for the period 2014-2019. Annual Performance Plan 2014-15 financial year. The budget allocation 2014-2015. We have also aligned with the National Development Plan and medium-term strategic framework. And in some instances, you see also observe that the recent state of the population address by the president is of particular with respect to the annual. We have had the privilege of having to look at both the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, and we made some amendments with respect to the annual performance plan. We made no amendments to the strategic plan that has been presented there, but only allocation, only annual performance plans with it. Those will be highlighted during the presentation. But we also are presenting the strategic plan of Wanyama Transport, as well as the strategic plan. Commission on the Restitution of Land Rights. Those are the documents that you will speak to this afternoon and get the support of the council. The Director General will meet the department. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, minister, deputy minister, and colleagues, as the minister has outlined, we have got the three sets of reports which we are presenting before this committee. We will start with the presentation of the departmental strategic plan and its APP, which will be followed by the budget allocation to the plan. We will elaborate on the strategic plan by inviting the Chief Land Claims Commissioner to just set out the 5-year strategic plan of the Commission in line with the budget that is allocated. And then finally, the acting CEO of Ingonyama Transport will also present the strategic plan and the APP of the trust. My colleague Eugene Southgate, the Deputy Director General responsible for corporate support services, will do the presentation on the strategic plan and the APP of the department. And my colleague Tapelo Mosoneng, the acting CFO, will present the budget. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Chairperson. I'm going to present a high-level presentation of, firstly, the department's strategic plan, and then show the, to some extent, linkages in terms of the MTSF, and then take you, basically, as outlined on the slide, through what our vision, mission, and strategy is. The policy legislation initiative that we're embarking upon for the current year, then the planning cycle that we use in the department in terms of doing both our strategic plan and plan for the next 5 years, as well as our APP and how we set our targets, looking at our strategic goals, and I'll take you basically into the 5 programs of the annual performance plan. That just in a nutshell indicates the purpose of the presentation. The contribution of our department in addressing the triple challenges that we currently face in South Africa, namely poverty, inequality, and unemployment, with specific focus on the rural areas, which is our mandate as a department. It also takes into account the department's response to the National Development Plan and the new growth path of this government. And then we outline outputs, targets, and indicators for 2014-2015 financial aid contained in the ABP document that we've also circulated. In a nutshell, when we look at the MTSF, it serves as the principal guide to us for planning and resource allocation across all the spheres of government. It also sets up the country's developmental challenges. And I remember the three that I said in the previous slide that I spoke about: poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And our focus then goes into the rural areas. We use it mainly as, best used as a frame of reference designed to guide the government's policy position and the program of action, and informed by the election manifesto of the governing party. Our problem statement when we started our planning was that the main challenge for rural development has been the marginalization of the poor, with mutual acknowledgement of the following problem areas that we cited. The apartheid spatial design, the patterns that we've inherited as a country, land ownership patterns, land reform that has not yet translated into the establishment of sufficient numbers of sustainable new black farmers in the country, the underutilization and unsustainable use of the natural resources of our country, rural areas that struggle to attract sustainable enterprises and industries, and then weaker ordination of planning and implementation of the rural development areas in our country. When you look at the MTSF priority areas, you'll find that the NDP identifies 6 policy imperatives. which will be the focus areas for the MTSF. The one is that we look at improved land administration. I'm on slide 6 in the pack now. Improved land administration, spatial planning for integrated development in our rural areas. We look at sustainable land reform. We look at improved food security, smallholder farmer development and support, increased access to quality basic infrastructure and services, particularly in education, healthcare, and public transport in our rural areas. And then I have another policy imperative which looks at the growth of sustainable rural enterprises and industries characterized by strong rural-urban linkages, increased investment in agro-processing, trade development, and access to markets and financial services, which ultimately result in increased job creation in our rural areas. Our strategic plan, the vision, mission, and strategy has remained unchanged. We have not amended that since the last one that we've developed. The legislative initiatives that we want to embark upon are there four main ones. The one deals with electronic deeds registration bill. I'm not going to go through all the bullet points that I mentioned. I'll highlight the main ones that are the focus of the legislative initiative. The last two bullets there is to provide for access, countrywide access to deeds registration services, and the last one is to provide security features which include confidentiality, which is the main purposes of that bill. The second one is the land protection bill. Some of the main focuses of it is first that we're going to establish and complete the land commission in the country. And then we want to look at to provide for the classification of land as controlled land, and importantly to provide for the disclosure by owners of land in terms of their race, gender and nationality. I think I've been cut off. And also to provide for the acquisition and disposal of land by foreign persons, to provide for the establishment and maintenance of a register of land ownership, and to provide for the circumstances under which a juristic person is considered a foreign juristic person when it comes to land ownership in country. That's the intention of the Land Protection Law. The third piece of legislation we are dealing with, and which probably the household is, the extension of security of 10-year amendment law. The second bullet there, the bill aims to find a lasting solution to Kenya insecurities with regard to land tenure in our country. And those areas through combining land distribution measures with ineffective legal protection dispute mechanisms. And then the fourth piece of legislation is the Communal Property Assertion Amendment Bill. And we'll go the purpose of that one is to provide for the establishment of a communal property association office and the appointment of a registrar of communal property associations, and then also to provide improved protection of the rights and interests of members of association in respect of movable and immovable property, and to provide for name changes of associations. And then the second last bullet is to provide clarity on the content of annual report in respect of associations, the CPAs that we have functioning in the country. The following bills, once approved by Parliament, will enable the Department to establish, as indicated, firstly, the Land Commission Bill, the Land Commission, and then in terms of the second one, establish the Land Rights Management Board, and in the third one, in terms of the Property Valuation Bill, the establishment of the Office of the Valuer General, which we are project managing at this particular moment. Then in terms of planning, the department, in the last paragraph, they adopted the virtuous cycle as an enabler to ensure integrated planning and coordinated implementation of rural development initiatives and interventions. And I just want to take you, that's the schematic way of how we do the planning in the process when it comes to establishing our strategic plan and elaborate on the virtuous cycle. We look firstly in terms of an examination and investigation in terms of the rural areas. We look at the SIPs, we look at the district municipalities, we look at the IDPs in your metropolitan, in your rural areas. We look at a whole lot of statistical information we gather from a whole lot of sources, example from StatsSA, from a whole lot of research. And then we go into a planning cycle in which we look at what the focus areas and which are the districts in which we should be focusing the resources that have been allocated to the department. So it's basically we do an exercise to determine where to implement. From there you go to the top right hand corner if you're looking at it, and it says, in terms of our acquisition policy, where do we buy land in this country, certainly in the rural areas, with regard to development of our rural communities. So in terms of the proactive acquisition of land based on the slum reports that have come out of our investigations and the research that we do. Following that, we go into a process of determining who to assist, when to assist, and how do we provide the assistance. You'll hear later on we talk about recap in terms of the acquisition of the farms and things that we do. How do we provide the support to the person that we have supported in terms of land restitution? From there we go into the infrastructure project. When and what infrastructure to deliver is determined by the community readiness to produce in the identified areas that maximize government investment, and projects relating to the socio-economic regeneration of small towns, the ICT environment, and special projects that are initiated by one of the branches in the department. And that's where we go into a cycle of doing that kind of research and see how we allocate our resources against the timelines that are set both in our strategic plan and in our APP. The department's also moved into a whole different culture of project management, where each of these things is basically managed through a project manager and introducing the project management system into the department, so that we have dashboards which indicate how we're progressing with these things. So that's the planning cycle the department has embarked on. Just another schematic presentation. I won't take you through that one, it'll just give you an idea of what we do. The strategic plan of the department, I think we've got 5 or 6 strategic goals. The first one dealing with corporate governance and service excellence. The committee had a presentation by the Auditor General and where we've seen how we've progressed as a department under the DG's guidance with regard to governance, from a qualified audit to unqualified, with very few matters of emphasis when it comes to performance management. So we want to basically foster corporate governance and service excellence to compliance with our legal framework. And then strategic goal 2 is to improve land administration for integrated and sustainable growth and development. And the goal statement there is where we want to improve land administration and social planning for integrated sustainable growth and development with a bias towards our rural areas. Strategic goal 3, which is to promote equitable access to and sustainable use of land for development, and our goal statement is to have an inclusive and equitable land dispensation and transform patterns of land tenure and use. As you can see, I don't want, but it ties back to the NDP, it ties back to the manifesto, and it ties back to the priority areas all the time with regard to the NDPF. In terms of strategic goal 4, we want to promote sustainable and rural livelihoods, where we have set our goal statement, improve rural livelihoods as a result of capabilities, income and job opportunities, again, tying back to what government priorities are. Strategic goal 5, improve access to services, where we want to improve access to services in rural areas through the coordination of quality infrastructure and the development of infrastructure in our rural areas. Strategic goal 6, where we look at sustainable rural enterprises and industries, where the statement promotes economically, socially and environmentally viable rural enterprises and industries, and helping those communities to attract and to retain those industries as well. And strategic goal 7, which is the restoration of land rights, where the restoration of land in terms of the Restitution of Land Rights Act that has been amended, and you would have heard this morning also that we've reopened land claims in the country, which commenced yesterday, I believe. Our objectives, I'm not going to go through all the things that are there, but just in terms of where you'll see there are new indicators, but I'll basically look at the objective statement and the justification for it in our strategic plan. Where with compliance with all public sector legal principles, 100% compliance with public with government regulations and legal principles for 2019. I think it's important for the committee that the department is young. This is its fifth or sixth year of existence. So putting in the systems, the governance systems in place is a work in progress. This is a new indicator. The objective will promote good governance and to measure compliance. When we look at the unqualified regulatory audit opinion, well on the way to that in the department, is to obtain an unqualified regulatory audit opinion on financial and non-financial performance by 2019. This strategic objective will ensure that there is improved accountability on public resources, service delivery, and that the department complies with features governing the public sector. In terms of skills development for improved service delivery, we want to improve employees and prospective employee skills, enhance service delivery by 2019. We work in an environment in which there are quite a few critical skill categories and wanting to develop those so that we have a sufficient pipeline of persons coming into the department with regard to skills development. So the justification is to promote a capable and professional workforce to achieve service excellence. Improved spatial planning is to facilitate integrated spatial planning and land use management in all provinces through the application of relevant legislation by 2019, and this will contribute towards spatial equity. In terms of an integrated and comprehensive land administration system, we look at ensuring an integrated comprehensive land administration which will ensure the promotion of sustainable growth and development within rural areas. In terms of our objective 3.1, is to provide support to rural communities in all rural districts to enable them to improve their livelihoods by 2019, and to set specific targets. We have a baseline of 7,800 households that will be provided with support. The strategic objective will contribute towards food security in rural areas, and we have set up partnerships with the Department of Agriculture in this regard as well. 3.2, we have a quality infrastructure provided, improve access to services in rural areas by coordinating and providing integrated infrastructure by 2019. The strategic objective will contribute towards improved rural livelihoods by facilitating the provision of quality infrastructure in our rural areas. The 3.3 is to facilitate the development of 235 rural enterprises and industries in areas with economic development potential and opportunities by 2019. It's a new indicator, and the strategic objective will contribute towards our CRDP initiatives. Then we look at the 3.4. We want to increase job opportunities and ensure skills development through the CRDP and land reform initiatives by 2019. Will contribute to the reduction of unemployment in rural areas, which is a concern for us at this stage. Land rights restored, facilitate the restoration of land rights and alternative forms of equitable redress by 2019, and it looks at the justification is that equitable land distribution, dispensation and agrarian reform. Redress land rights lost after 1913, facilitate the reopening and finalization, the lodgement of restitution land claims who did not meet the 1998 deadline. You'll see the baseline we had by the end of 1998, 79,696 land claims were lodged by the cut-off date. And we're looking at the equitable land dispensation agreement reform again with the reopening of the land claim thing. The strategically located land acquired by the department is to promote equitable land distribution and agricultural development by acquiring 1.140 million hectares of strategically located land by 2019. This objective will ensure that the land allocated for agricultural purposes is used productively and will contribute towards economic development and, more importantly, towards food security for our country. In terms of 5.2, we provide a comprehensive farm development support to smallholder farmers and land reform beneficiaries for agrarian transformation by 2019. This objective will ensure development support to smallholder farmers and land reform beneficiaries for agrarian transformation. And 5.3, functional systems and institutional arrangements, where we look at the arrangements for tenure and land administration to enable agrarian reform in all provinces. And this objective will ensure fully functional systems and institutional arrangements for land administration in our country. That in a nutshell wraps up our strategic plan for 2014-2019 and the strategic objectives that we wish to follow. I'll now take you basically into our APP, which is our plan for the current cycle. for the committee. We did table one in March, and we've made slight changes to the one that has been, that was actually made one change in the one that was tabled in March, and I'll highlight that one as I go, that one change is made as I go through the presentation. And I just pulled this in the office. Sorry, Chair. In terms of our department structured into five programs. The first program dealing with administration and houses the ministry, the Director General's Office, the Corporate Support Services, Finance, as well as our provincial offices, our provincial shared services centres. We have a shared service in every province of the country, and they all fall under Program 1. We're looking to spend in this financial year 100% of our budget. And you'll see the I won't go into the projections in each quarter. Then in terms of invoices paid, we set ourselves a target to pay all our invoices submitted that are correct within 30 days of receiving those. We are looking for unqualified financial statements. We're looking at a percentage of external findings that were resolved, and at looking at 100% of those. So any AG findings that are tabled in our management report, we want to resolve 100% of them. We're looking at developing a human resource development strategy for the department, as I mentioned earlier on. Critical occupational categories in a department which require a talent pipeline so that we can have sufficient people in those occupational groups to do the work that we require, that we are required to do. One of them is the number of people that we've highlighted is to be trained in geomatics, and the number to be 60. We wish to train 60 of them or provide them with systems in that regard. In terms of Program 2, which is geospatial and cadastral services, to facilitate integrated special plan land use in all provinces through the application of relevant legislation. So our national spatial development framework needs to be developed for the country, and so we're hoping to have that finalized. We should have it finalized in the fourth quarter of this year. The percentage of municipalities that we will be supporting to implement the new legislation that was passed by this parliament in the last sitting, in terms of Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act, we're looking at providing 60% of support when it comes to SPS, 20% land use schemes, and 80% functional land use regulators. And that's how we want those of the municipalities want to support in that regard in developing those issues. The number of provinces supported to develop provincial SPS will be 4 in the current cycle. Or performance cycle. The National Spatial Development Framework that needs to be developed in terms of ensuring integrated and comprehensive land administration system. We want to provide support in terms of 1,500. Our target there is 1,500. The number of deeds and documents that need to be registered in the current cycle is 953,424, which we use as a baseline. Also, you'll hear from the Chief Register of Deeds that target is heavily dependent on the economy and the interest rates that are determined by the Reserve Bank and the banks that issue bonds. If the interest rate goes up, we anticipate that that target will actually not be achieved. And then we look at the number of maps of the national map series that are produced for the country, that in terms of the country, and in terms of that geospatial component, they're looking at 4 of those map series to be produced in the current cycle. Rural development, where we would try to provide support to rural communities in our rural districts to enable them to improve their livelihoods. In terms of the strategy that we want approved, we want that to be approved in the fourth quarter. In terms of improving access to the services in rural areas by coordinating and providing integrated infrastructure by 29, again, this is in collaboration with the partnerships we've established with other government departments, such as agriculture, such as transport, such as public works, and especially with our local authorities and provincial governments. Norms and standards for access to rural services need to be developed. Again, that's in the third quarter, so that we have a baseline from which to operate. Rural development strategy and systems development and implemented. The number of socio-economic infrastructure projects coordinated and facilitated will be 114. The detail of that will be in the operational plans of the units responsible for that. the number of households supported with basic services infrastructure, and we're looking at setting it, we've set a target of 8,000 households to be supported with basic services across the country in the rural areas. The number of animal self-management program projects that we want to implement on farms is 200 such projects across the 9 provinces that we have. The number of projects implemented and supported the River Valley Catalytic Program is 14 that we want to establish in the current cycle. Then to facilitate the development of rural enterprises and industries in areas with economic development potential and opportunities by 2019, and then this is where the virtuous cycle planning comes in, and you go into the research and identify the areas. You also look at the enterprises that are viable in those district municipalities. Rural enterprises and industrial development strategy that needs to be implemented, but the number of enterprises supported in rural development such as agriculture and other sectors, we're looking at establishing 210 such enterprises in the provinces across the country. Where we want to increase job opportunities, the number of skills development opportunities provided to support rural development initiatives, we're looking at providing 4,200 skill development opportunities for persons in our rural communities. And then the number of skills development provided to our young people in the 9 provinces, we're looking at accepting 5,000 such opportunities in the current performance cycle. Jobs created in rural development initiatives, that is similar to where we are basically the landowner. We're looking at providing 4,000 job opportunities on those parcels of land. And then the one change that we've made in relation to the APP that was tabled in March is 342, where we are wanting to establish a mega cooperative to facilitate support to the persons or the young people who are on our NARISEC youth development program. We can go into detail about it, but that's a new deliverable and target for the APP. That's the one change that we've made. In terms of program 4, where we have the restitution program located, land claims settled, 379 land claims settled in the current performance cycle or current financial year. The land claims that will be finalized will be 239. The number of phased projects approved, 53. And the number of claims lodged by 1998 to actually be researched, which was a question asked earlier, is 1,445. The number of lodgement offices that will be functional, especially where the opening and finalization of lodgement of restitution land claims for those people who did not meet the 1998 deadline. In the first quarter, I'm happy to inform the committee we have opened 11 lodgement offices, one in every province in the country, and in some instances we have more than one. In the second quarter, the target is to open the remaining 3 lodgement offices open, and they are all functional. Maybe the Chief Land Claims Commissioner can indicate that we've already received 32 land claims since opening yesterday, the first one being tabled in George or being submitted in the George Land Claim or Lodgement Office. In terms of land reform, promote equitable land redistribution and agricultural development by acquiring 1.140 million hectares of strategically located land by 2019 and tying this back to the government's intention or initiative of food security for the country. The number of hectares we wish to acquire in the current year is 390,000 hectares of land. We want to go some way towards establishing the office of the Valuer General, because we believe it will assist us in terms of land administration and restitution when it comes to land claims in the country as well. So we want to have part of the office functional within the third or fourth quarter of the financial year. Provide comprehensive farm development support to smallholder farmers and land reform beneficiaries for agrarian transformation. These are the number of land reform farms that will be recapitalized. This is our recap program and develop will be 303 in the performance cycle. Jobs created in land reform projects will be 909. The number of farm personnel trained through the outreach through that project is also 909. Number of communal property associations, 180, that will be compliant with the legislation that is in place. the number of land tenants associations settled, which is, will be counted in cities, the number of land parcels transferred under the Tronka legislation will be 40, the number of state land parcels confirmed as vested is 1,787, and we want to have a complete immovable asset register in place of all the state loan and the land that we have in our possession on our books of 100%. That is our APP, ladies and gentlemen, Madam Chair, for the current performance. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Just one small correction on the typo on the legislative program. The bill that in slide 9 is called the Land Protection Bill is the Regulation of Land Holdings Bill. So it's just that, but the purpose and the function of the bill are correct. I'm just saying it's the title that we have there in slide 9 that I thought I should correct. One of the bills we intend bringing to Parliament for processing by this committee. The second thing, Madam Chair, I just wanted to highlight is that the six priorities of the medium-term strategic framework are shared by this department together with a range of national and provincial government departments. As honourable members will know, we have departments of agriculture and rural development in the provinces, but at a national level we have no less than 15 national departments contributing to the six priorities that are up there. What we present in the strategic plan of this particular department are the areas that are being driven by this particular department against its mandate and the vote. I just thought that when we highlight the members of the medium-term strategic framework as drawn from the National Development Plan, I must point out that we one are a coordinating department of this particular six priorities in terms of their implementation, but we also have a specific mandate as a department against the vote that we get allocated, and we are responsible for the targets that we have set for ourselves in the strategic plan and the APP. The governance framework for that is that we have a technical implementation forum, which is a forum of senior government officials from heads of departments in the provinces, directors general and deputy directors general, at a national level. That report, that put together report that who monitor the implementation of these priorities. And then at a political level, you have got a forum of ministers convened by the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. You've got that forum of the ministers also involves provincial MECs responsible for agriculture and rural development. That is all helping us to report coherently about the investment government is making in addressing the challenges we have highlighted in the strategic plan. I just thought that, Madam Chair, I would just emphasize those points. We will be guiding by yourself, Madam Chair, on whether we should follow the agenda which now wants the, which requires that the next item is the ITB, and then be followed by the commission. So we'll be guided by you, Madam Chair.
Members, can we engage in the presentation of the department first to then proceed to ITB? Honourable Walter? Honourable McQueen? And Susan, Honourable.
Thank you. looking at what has been mentioned here in terms of strategic outcomes and programs, getting a land restitution properly supported, and then also make references to plans that are very, very long. In one of the previous presentations, we saw that the restitution program budget between 2013 and 2014 and 2014 to 2013, that the budget percentage had dropped. Now, one of the concerns that was expressed by the DA before this process started was concerns about an unfunded mandate. Now, what we're seeing is a drop in the budgetary allocation, but yet an expansion of land restitution and call it bureaucratic capabilities that are required. And then I think there's quite a lot of comments, but I'll just one other comment that I want to make is I also noticed in some of the outcomes there was one specifically where 7,800 households being supported is referred to as a strategic objective. My concern is that that's a strategic output. The outcome would be, let's say, 7,800 independent, empowered households, not so much the act of providing support. And I'm concerned that there is outputs being indicated as outcomes rather than the outcomes themselves. I just think going forward, that's the kind of thing that I'm certainly going to be looking at as well.
Thanks, Chair, and also recognize the Minister and the other officials. I just think the big problem that I have with the presentation is that there are significant silences. We're looking through a number of targets which we don't know what they're speaking to. This particular ministry, this particular committee that's supposed to deal with the land question, this is the central responsibility. Everything else must support this proposition. Now, there was a 30% target set by government before for 2014. That is a target towards which we work. Right now there is no target. So there is no target, and one is also tempted to say we do not have a policy proposal to get out of this. In the document we are given called strategic plan 2014-2019, in page 15 and 16, there is a very nice layout of pieces of legislation which should be dealt with and the statuses of each. I'm trying to raise the issue of the absence of policy to deal with the big question of land question. 20 years later, 8% of the land has been redistributed, meaning that there's no land reform program in this country. When you look at the pieces of legislation laid out in this document called strategic plan, there is a differing silence on policy, but also on the express policy, which we read in the newspapers, and that's going to be a question. And we also have this draft proposal here that says strengthening the relative rights of people working the land. That piece of policy proposal is not reflected on this document. It is not even reflected in the presentation that we just had, that they are reflected on the key piece of legislation that we're going to look at this year. So the question becomes, where is this piece of legislation? What is its status? That is a piece of legislation that says, or a proposal rather, that says our government is going to give 50% of shares or land to farm workers. I'm glad the minister is here because that thing is about evicting farm workers. So if it's not reflected on the policies and the presentation we get from the department, where is that policy? Where is it written? Because it is about giving white farmers a year to evict those farm workers who are still there on land. We don't have a land redistribution program. We don't hear from the major piece of legislation to help us. What we know, pronounced in the newspapers and television, is that farmers now must evict our people from farms, because there will be a year. We must wait until April, when there will be some discussion of this policy. So I think we have a crisis in our hands, and so let's see how we discuss this. And as I say, I don't understand why there's a secrecy about, or this glaring omission about this presentation of this document. Unless, of course, that comes later, it is not here. But when I see this document provided about legislation and policy and the presentation of the main interventions and the absence of this policy, I must worry. And as I said, that policy is the key thing we must do. And we must also get a clarification on, do we have a target to deal with the land question in this country? Because right now we don't.
Thank you, Chair. This is the moment that we have been looking forward to. I do know that Chair Olasunkun made a specific request to you to communicate to the Honourable the Minister that when he comes down here today, he should please be comfortable that we will put questions regarding the policy that we proposed, policy that we've seen in the newspapers, and we therefore hope that he will in his response, not through officials, not through his deputies, but he himself will directly respond to our concern as public representatives on the proposed policy. And that when he, after we have responded, we will have an opportunity to react thereto. This was not intended to prolong the discussion of the day, but this was a specific request that I know I personally made. But let that be the case. Specific questions on the preservation, page 9, touches on something that is very close to my worried heart. A good percentage of South African land is slowly but quietly being acquired by foreigners. Is there a policy on the part of our department to say foreigners will not be allowed to acquire either in the form of 99-year leases or direct purchases more than a certain percentage of our land? Somebody worked out that after 100 years, a lot of the voters will have no right to say that they are living in a constitutional state, because they'll be having no land. Land will be owned by foreigners unless we come up immediately with a policy that is aimed to stem the potential rot. Page 15. Sustainable rural enterprises and industries. Is there any plan other than SPLAN to cooperate in the implementation of that with local government as well as regional development agencies? A regional development agency, there was very little practical cooperation between this department and a very, very relevant rural-based development agency. Very little practical. And that's why I'm coming up with this question. Page 19. Public amenities completed. What is this? Simple question. Now,
also strategic objective 3.3, facilitate the development of 235 rural enterprises. How have they been chosen? One of the reasons why I'm putting this question is because in an earlier report that we saw today about the training of people, we saw that KZN, of the traditionally recognized provinces as being rural, that's Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KZN, they have 22% of trainees, whereas the other two provinces had very few people trained. Now, we want to be sure that there is a spread balance. That's why I'm putting the question as to how have these 235 people been chosen. And page 20, baseline to objective 3.4, number of jobs created in rural areas. This is one of the government's central objectives, particularly the current administration. What sort of targets and how do you arrive at them? The reason I'm putting this question is because I went through a whole lot of these reports over the weekend, and time and time and time again, the department acknowledges itself that it has failed to meet its own targets. Now, the question I've got is, what does the department take into consideration when it sets its own target that it ever failed so many times? And that's why I'm putting this, because job creation and the absence of jobs is a crucial matter towards the end. Page 25. On the annual performance report. Rural development. Objective 3.1. Improve their livelihoods by 2019. What is the measuring tool? I've worked as a social development facilitator. What sort of tools, how would you say that so-and-so's life, that is the impact we're talking about? That's the impact ladder, where one, someone here says there's a difference, which I think it was Honorable Walters. Let's not juggle around comfortably with the term outcome and so on. The very reason why government exists in the first place is to bring about a social balance. Let's agree on that. Now, we therefore want to know, as this committee, if we must endorse the budget. And I know I'm saying this is the minority part, anyway. We want to know what social balance will this budget bring about? What social happiness will this budget bring about? So well, that's why I've got this question. Last question, and for second last. In another report that I went through over the weekend, this figure, 5,000, this is on 3.42, rural development. There's a figure, nice figure, 5,000, nearly said 5,000, 5,000 used to be trained. Is there a budget or is there no budget? Or is this just figure playing? To say, it's nice to say to Parliament that we're going to train 5,000, when in fact we have seen that this time and time again does not materialize. Last one, I went through a report by the Department of Trade and Industry. This is now on program 3, rural development, mega cooperative established to facilitate support. I get sick when I see the term cooperative, because the reports by the very department that has got the responsibility of developing, assisting, and so on, helping cooperatives, 2012, they admitted that 93-94% of cooperatives collapse in the first year of establishment. I did not say operation, establishment. Why do we go the same route? And I've worked with cooperatives practically. That department admits that they collapse. Why are we going the same route when we are away? Because I'm sure rural development department would. I was not privileged to have access to that report. Lastly, jobs, land reform. Very interesting. This is the very last one. 522. There's a popular figure there. 227, 227, 227. Next column, 227, 227, 227. Why are these coincidences? What is that coincidence based on? Or is there something that I wouldn't work out quickly in my mind. It's a strange coincidence. Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. But remember my first remark on the mega issue proposed for this. Thank you.
Can I just take the department to respond to the issues raised, because I noted there are so many.
It's only one.
Oh, can come in there.
Thank you, Chair. I will welcome the presentation. And I want to follow up on what the honourable member is saying about mega cooperatives. Is this just a new way to use, because we're the national? Now this is going to facilitate or to support the youth. Will it reduce unemployment? That is the first question. And the second question on the same issue, there are no targets when you check on this program today. Is it technically, that's why you did not put the targets per quarter, but another page. Program 2, Urban Development, 2.4.2. Is it, was it deliberately exactly not to put this same program on its own web, and you don't know exactly what you're going to do? Now, I'm asking, I'm getting this information. And automatically, if you check your budget, the national youth program has dropped. Now, what will happen to this mega property that will support the youth?
Can I allow the department to respond to the issues raised? But can I just make some correction, honourable person?
Yes.
I think the training that you were referring to was not the training of the enterprises. It was the training with regards to recapitalization and development program, whereby it was talking of the strategic partners, you know, training less farmers. It was not based on the enterprises as you have mentioned. Because they've linked that one to enterprise development while you're talking about the recapitalization and development program. Can I then give the department an opportunity to respond?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will attempt to respond to the specific question on the strategic plan and the operational plan, and there was a specific question to the Honourable Minister. We are grateful for his presence. We on just generally on the budget and perhaps on the point raised on the decline on the restitution budgets, we will have the acting CFO who will respond and outline the process that we have embarked upon together with the National Treasury generally around this. And then I'll invite DDG Achari on the job creation and NARISEC and the mega cooperative.
Thanks, DG. Chair, honorable members, Minister and GMs. Just on the question of the linkage between the reopening of the land claims and the movements within the budget, I think it's been a while that even our minister has been explaining, and this explanation has also come through from ourselves, that the question of the land claims will be dealt with within the fiscus. Whether it's the land claims that have been existing by 1998 or the claims that we are receiving today, the department and government will continue to work with what it has got at its disposal, basically based on the means that the country has got to deal with the matter of land claims, along with other programs of government. So the decline that may have been seen in the earlier presentation that was done by the parliamentary staff is basically based on the economic outlook of the country. So as a program, restitution will work within the means that South Africa has to deal with the question of land claims. MTF processes ensue on a yearly basis, and discussions happen between the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform together with the Treasury, just like it happens with any other government department with any of its programs, whether it's healthcare, whether it's education, and of course with restitution as well. So within the constraints of the economy, we will continue to deal with the questions of the land claims. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, honourable members. In terms of the questions asked, maybe if I just quickly respond to the ones that, just the technical questions. The one, honourable member, in terms of the public amenities that you referred to, what are these public amenities that we are doing? Within the Comprehensive Rural Development Program, remember we look at a host of socio-economic infrastructure. And within that, the public amenities can be community facilities, recreational facilities, youth hubs, etc. So on the first few pages, those are baselines. Those are already what has been done since the beginning of the CRDP. So the 45 you see would be across the country in various areas that we've been implementing CRDP. Our target for this financial year, then, in terms of public amenities, is 31 for this year alone. But the 45 is what has been done over the last 2 years. Okay, then the question in terms of the youth to be trained, the 5,000, I think it's been asked by two separate members in terms of the youth. The 5,000, and the reason that we can still maintain the number of the 5,000, Chair, is because we, remember, we partner with the Skills Fund as well. So we do then access funding that assists us in the training of youth. And that is why, even though when you were looking at this reduction, you see that we are still able to maintain the training and the number of the youth going forward. So we will not change that. That 5,000 we will be able to achieve. In terms of the link then with what is the mega cooperative, I think the question that is being asked is, why do we want to establish a mega cooperative when the signals are that cooperatives in the country actually are not functioning or are failing? The idea of the mega cooperative, and it is directly linked in terms of the National Rural Youth Service Corps program, as a method that we want to use in terms of an exit strategy for young people that have been skilled in various areas. And the mega cooperative, the concept is that it would be a cooperative that is established by the youth themselves having contributed into that establishment. Its role would be different than a normal functioning cooperative at a lower level. Remember that you'll have the mega cooperative where they would have contributed, and the idea is that through that cooperative, they will be able to get advice and support in various areas that will help them then in terms of their own cooperative that they are running at a lower level. So it is a mega cooperative then that will have various streams within it. For example, it will be able to support construction cooperatives, tourism cooperatives, etc., where the young people have been organized at their level in terms of that. So that particular mega co-op, the idea, and that's why you see in the strategic plan, honorable member, there is a target that is set for that. The target is that that cooperative will be established in the second quarter of the financial year. So it is not, you know, it is written out, mega cooperative established to facilitate support in the second quarter. So there is a target. There is funding available for us. But the idea is that each youth would contribute a financial contribution into the setting up of that cooperative so that they begin to have ownership and they actually can drive that. It is not that sustainability depends on the state, but rather that we are skilling and capacitating them to be able to do this on their own. So that is with regard to the issue of the mega cooperative. The issue of the, and that then is linked also in terms of how do we ensure that this then helps with job creation within the young people, because the idea in terms of our skills development program is that we are skilling them in those areas. For example, in terms of construction, we're looking at various artisan skills, etc., so that they become more marketable as well in terms of their own cooperatives, and they are able to offer service back also to the state and to other private sector partners once they've exited our program. And so that helps in terms of the job creation as well. I think DG Elf answered the question.
Madam Chair, there are two interrelated questions. One is about the target of 210 cooperatives vis-a-vis the target of developing a livelihood strategy. With regard to the target of the enterprises, this is work in progress. In fact, many of the enterprises that are being referred to, this is work that began last year or even before last. I'll make two practical examples. We have been working with the various women's groups across the country on arts and crafts. Currently, they are being trained in various provinces. They haven't been assisted towards becoming enterprises. They have been given skills to be able to develop arts and crafts that are sold both domestically and internationally. There is, for instance, a shop in Devon now for the arts and crafts women, where the women in the rural area that have been offered the training would then produce the arts and the crafts, and then they supply the shop. What we want to do is to begin to turn these groups of women into enterprises, so that the department over a period of time moves out when they become enterprises from the proceeds that they are able to make from selling these arts and crafts. They can be able to buy their own material, pay their own traveling costs, and be able to move logistically their produce. We have also been looking together with the institutions such as the Agricultural Research Council, the National Agricultural Marketing Council. We have looked at various commodity value chains of agriculture. We have looked at, for instance, beef as a value chain, to say what opportunities lie there. The Department of Agriculture has done a study on various commodity value chains, together with the National Agricultural Marketing Council. And they have identified these opportunities in various parts of the country. For instance, they will tell you that both in the Eastern Cape, for instance, your large and small livestock, there are big opportunities for that particular sector. As a result, we are working with over 500 merino farmers in that area that are already producing a small livestock, but there's also wool that is coming out of there. So I'm saying the target is informed by some studies that started the year before. They didn't just come like that. We have said there's large livestock. Again, the studies show that there are provinces that are better off producing large livestock, such as the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and some parts of Northwest. Small livestock, like goats in particular, will be found again in Msinga and KwaZulu-Natal, but in many parts of Northwest and Northern Cape. So it's on the basis of some of the studies of those value chains that some of these enterprises were identified. Again, you move to crops, you could look at grains, the various types of grains. There is work that was done by these agricultural institutes on the basis of which we then said these are the opportunities and this is where they lie on the basis of those studies. Obviously, the means of verification, the impact assessment must come from the strategy now to say how do we use the fact that they are trading profitably against their commercial counterparts? are they able to make an X amount of money in terms of revenue and so on. So I think this one, this livelihood strategy must assist us to say, among other things, other than just being able to produce more healthier livestock, how do they make a little bit more money, and how do they take advantage of available opportunities? That was just the basis, but they are the list of those enterprises that have been identified. There was a question about the other than Spluma, how do we ensure cooperation? Government adopted the outcome based approach in the fourth administration, and having attempted the fifth administration decided that government will proceed with the outcomes-based approach, which informs the way we plan, how we set the targets, and so on. We obviously take note of the points that the Honorable Walter has raised vis-à-vis outputs versus outcomes. So we do take that into account. But the point we tried to make earlier on was that what the outcomes based approach also does also set up institutional arrangements for government to cooperate, so that all of us from district level to provincial level to national level are able to report. But lastly, at the inception of the Comprehensive Rural Development Programme in 2009, August, the department presented a CRDP management system, which system basically is saying at a national level you've got the forum of the minister and other ministers with the minister leading at the centre. At the level of the province, the premier and government departments operating at that level. The premier plays that leading role but assigns the responsibility to an MEC. Similarly, the same thing happened at a district level. While we've made an attempt to get the system work in the previous term, where the outcomes-based approach was new, we must admit that it was not as effective. It is going to work when mayors and MECs pull together and get the reports to happen. So at the level of national, we will continue to convene the meetings, we'll continue to call on for the report. I think the minister can elaborate on particular role that the Deputy Minister of Rural Development, for instance, is going to be playing in this particular regard, in assisting to facilitate better coordination and inputs by the other role players. And then finally, on the was a specific question of policy that was raised on ownership of land by foreign nationals. That draft bill we are proposing in the strategic plan under the legislative program has been signed and approved by the minister, submitted to the leader of government business. That we want, the department wants to take this bill to cabinet at least by November this year, so that once cabinet approves it, authorizes consultation process, we come from consultation process, we then present it to parliament for adoption. But this is a policy that is trying to deal with the land ownership in South Africa. I think honorable members, In March last year, we completed the audit of state land, where we determined that still 79% of land in South Africa is still in private hands. We said about 14% of that is state land. Now we know how much state land there is. We want to, through this bill, to be able to unpack who owns the 79%, including land holdings by foreign nationals. So I thought I would respond to them.
Thank you very much, but you know,
Gracias.
Mandela. Honorable Walter, from the head up, followed by Honorable Walter, Honorable Mutomo, Pitane, and Pitan.
The chair, I'm and I'm happy for the minister's response in relation to the strengthening the rights of people working the land, not being part of the strategic plan at this point in time. But it's very, very clear in the next one it will be based on the minister. It's a process happening now. I actually want to go back to the very set question. The strategic plan and it would be indicates a target of 5,000 for this year. The minister indicated he wants to look at the strategic plan. He speaks of 5,000 is coming out of SONA. 5,000 will be going through this program in the next 5 years. And I wanted us a bit worried that if we continue to have a target of 5,000 a year, we will fall short by far. We will not achieve the target DG of 40,000 by 2019. So some way and somehow this 5,000 have to be revisited and substantially increase in the period ahead. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and I also thank the Minister for a response to a question that I haven't posed in the committee just yet, so I appreciate that. My understanding of the policy or the proposed policy on the strengthening of the relative rights of people who work the land is you made a ruling in the previous committee that there's no presentation, specific presentation that's going to be taking place in this committee. So therefore, I just want to confirm that whatever questions we asked here now does not constitute us discussing the policy. I think this is incidental questions. I look forward to such a presentation and such a proper debate in due course. And I do believe that the points that were raised are valid. One would assume that the strategic planning framework going forward would be amended to accommodate where we're suitable to accommodate any changes in policy. And I think I certainly look forward to that debate. My question that I asked was around the resourcing of restitution and the decrease in budget. You know, the response that I received was, well, the budget gets, in a sense, guided by economics. Now, the concern with that because certainly the landscape with the new act and the prioritization, in my mind, certainly shifted. So I would imagine it's not a case of business as usual continuing with the economics effectiveness. It implies a reprioritization of resources in our budget, which I don't see yet. In fact, I see it going in the wrong direction, so it's a source of concern. Obviously, the landscape change, obviously we can't go resourcing the processing of claims in the same manner that we did in the past. And I think there is a hole in the in what's being presented here, and there were also quite a lot of comments made. In fact, it's very difficult to get into a detailed discussion about cooperatives and what business models are appropriate and what type of cooperatives we are planning, but I think regardless of what the entity is that we use in the department to pursue with its training goals or production goals, the key thing, in fact, I think impact, the reference that was made by Mr. Mafra, I think is maybe a better description than outcomes. The impacts of it, I think we need to see in this committee. I think things like profitability ratios, if we talk whether it's a cooperative or whether it's a share equity scheme or whether it's a small holding, I think the sustainability in my mind is going to, in time, you're reflected in whether somebody can run their business or their cooperative profitably. Now, there's some very basic profitability ratios that I think can be included in reports to this committee, rather than reports about what government have put in. I'm more interested in what the return on the investment is going to be. And yes, and I certainly look forward to the policy debate that's been alluded to.
So I would love my colleagues to see that debate because there's no model that will assist if it's not working. Even this model that has been proposed is not working, it won't work. But I will love my other questions.
Very good, sir. To the department, there are some questions that we had to reserve before lunch, and we didn't get to put them because the department was not here. I think now is the time for us to put that. There was a presentation, summary and analysis of your budget. And on page 6, there is a disturbing statement here. And admission is the second bullet point. This is the judgment of the summary and analysis of the budget and transition plan. So I should reserve. Okay. Thanks a lot. Now, just in okay, fine. Provision for everyone. I want to thank our DG for the concise responses and the lady next to her. I would hope that the cooperative you've got in mind is either secondary or tertiary, but your language suggested that it would be tertiary, that makes it, national. Okay, and that the spread of the members would really become important from all the provinces. And DG, please, we would like to get some. I've heard that there's this bill, and I was aware that there's this bill about land for an oath. I don't know if it goes as much as to the percentage. Is there anything I want to propose here, in a manner that there should be a limit on the percentage of land in South Africa that may be owned by foreigners? Because if we don't, it will be like another 1913. Slowly, painfully, 100 years from now, your grandchildren will say, guys, you let us down. We need to put a limit. The land is going. Slowly, but quietly. Just with the big office. And to our honorable minister, our appeal to you, as the UDM minister, is to say how soon. It's a rhetorical question, sir. It's a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. To say, how soon would you find it convenient to open up the debate on this land, on your policy, such that Mkwati was saying, no, Akwazi ungena naye, as Namdi Nithuba, because it was in websites and so on, green paper or brown paper. Umakhate was a Khamakha, knows nothing about those things, has got no access. Ifuna Namakhate was a Khamakha. I can make a contribution. That's the level which we would like for you to bring it long before April. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Nelly, in the conversations you've had, one of them on radio, you spoke about the green paper, and I said, in your green paper, you will not deal with the main question, which is to end policy of willing buyer, willing seller. You said to me, you are still drafting the policy return. You're going to surprise me. And indeed, you published the green paper, and there was nothing ending willing buyer, willing seller. Up to now, all these policies we talk about are governed by the same logic. So I just, it's a follow-up to that comment that you made. We have a crisis in our hands, and unfortunately, the minister does not recognize this. I am shocked to hear that the conversations happening on this policy are between farm workers and farmers. Now, farm workers are slaves in South Africa. The power dynamic between farm workers and farmers are such that farm workers are able to defend themselves. There are no trade unions that are sufficiently empowered to defend the interests of farm workers. But today we're told farm workers somewhere are sitting with farmers to determine a very important question. When the DG says their own audit tells us that land, private land, is still about 80%. That is agricultural land. That's how we define it. 80% of South African land is agricultural land. Now, the minister says, but the policy where it's going to give 50% of this land to shares or some other means to farm workers who are supposedly having conversations with farm workers. I do think one must emphasize that the minister is not aware of the reality of farm workers. Already since 1994, we have evicted more than a million white farmers have evicted more than a million black people on land. But today we're told those people can enter into policy discussion. This government, we are supposed to intervene on the side of the vulnerable, not leave them to the whims of this vicious white farmer. That is the first point. I've read that the proposed policy minister, it says black people must go and become slaves on farms for 10 years before they can become eligible to get land. That is a distortion of the historical question we're dealing with here. The land question in this country is not about farm workers. You cannot come here and say to us, I don't think we can allow that or accept the proposition. Black people who must go work on farms for 10 years, for 20 years, for 50 years, only then will you be part of benefiting from land redistribution program. This policy is bad, Minister. This policy, it is good that you are here. You have said to those white farmers they can go and harass our people. You have not even suggested a moratorium on evictions. Let me ask the question, what do farm workers have to protect them between now and April when we're going to come this year? And let me tell you, Minister, what you're going to say. I'm not a farmer. You are going to say, you are going to drop all these notions of 50% here, taking land there, because we have not resolved the real question. Willing buyer, willing seller, amending Section 25 of the Constitution. I hear Mineral Walters and Honorable Walters and others are saying there's going to be a policy discussion somewhere. The policy discussion is going on. Maybe what we need to be able to say is to ask the minister to come back here within a week and we discuss the details of that policy proposal. Because farm workers are being evicted as we speak, and we do not have any mechanism to protect them. And as I said, that policy proposal is bad in all possible ways. And I, in conclusion, must wonder if what we're dealing with here is not a mechanism to divert attention from the real question of addressing the land question. There is consensus, Minister, all of us know this ministry must deal with land question. There's no target. We're sitting here. We're not looking towards any target, Chairperson. What is the target of somebody? What is the target? What is the target that we're working towards to make sure we turn around the situation of 40,000 white people own 80% of South African land? We don't have that, so we don't have a land policy. We don't have mechanism to protect farm workers. We have just now agitated white farmers to evict our people from farms with no possibility. So, I say, Mr. Minister, or Honorable Minister, we have a crisis in our hands. We have a crisis in our hands. But we also do have a solution. The organization I come from has offered you our 6.2% of our vote to get a two-third majority, amend Section 25, expropriate land without compensation,
give it to all our people who need it. We close the historical question. Then we can talk about everything else. Everything else we've spoken about here is irrelevant. Because we do not have referendum to get back our land. And this is a political question. Thank you.
But I hope also that the farmers themselves will be wise
because doing that again creates a serious social problem for the country and the world economy. So is there a good point, Honorable Chair, this point I'm making? I'm sure it's got a number of other points that are good. Maybe we could have a conversation outside here, talk to him. But not the point that he's making, that expropriation without compensation, not that type of thing. We want reasonable policy proposals that should be put on the table that will reflect the reality of South Africa today.
The minister, very long. I just want to plead that we should not get excited. I know this is a very emotional issue. It's a very emotional issue. And that when we deal with it, we should not be emotional, because then we're going to make failures, we're going to make lots of mistakes. We are a constitutional democracy, the minister has said. And that in this country, it's not easy to bend anything. Unless, for instance, the people want to go really radical, like, you know, performing to the colors. Like, it's easy to say, let's then to solve this problem, let's nationalize the whole land. And there should not be anyone who owns land in this country. It's not possible, you cannot implement that in a democracy like ours. But I think we need to, and at the same time, a comrade Chairperson said that we are not discussing, this issue is mentioned just in passing. We need to have time where we do justice to this, have the presentations where we can, you know, go to a workshop, even if it means going out of parliament for 2 days, you know, where we discuss this issue enough time. And when we debate, we should all be singing from the same hymn book. And when you differ with something, you need to have an alternative. You can't just say this thing is not going to work. You need to come up with a suggestion and this is not going to work. I think this is what you work for. So, I think the time will be made where this matter is discussed. Presently, what is on the table for us, we are raising against that. And if we don't complete this process of passing the budget, we may not have a department to be that will be playing an oversight role. We'll only be a committee that does not have a department. So let's focus on what we do now. And when we are through, we'll have a festival of ideas, Chairperson, even if it means spending the whole weekend together. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think you will recall that the DA opposed the draft, it was only the DA that opposed the draft committee program because we requested that the minister do a presentation and we have a debate on the policy. So, you know, so I believe this matter that's now being debated in front of the media was actually debated last week. But can I ask, and I think it's maybe we should ask a very simple question, and it should provide the framework for this debate. Does the department or the minister envisage any change to clause 25 protecting property rights in the constitution? Is that on the cards, yes or no?
We just had a conference to the job. That was never the case.
Sorry, Chair, just on another point of order, I'm not sure whether the recording device was on, so is it possible to get that on and so on?
up on the question of the mega corps, as highlighted by Achim. You touched the issue of the contribution, but although you didn't, because the first question that came into my mind was that my understanding is that this mega corp is going to be formed by the narrow sector group. Although I'm not sure of the stipends that they are receiving, are they going to be able to contribute to this? Because the explanation was that they have to contribute to the net money, assist them to, you know, sustain their business or whatever. But can you just clarify, with the stipends that they are receiving, are they going to be able to make this contribution? Secondly, when looking at the administration part of the plan, because the issue of the capacity challenge was raised in the BRR report, but what we need to be acted on as a committee is on the, it was nothing that has been presented about the staff establishment, so that we get a light of how many cooks according to the establishment that you have. Was it reviewed? How many funded vacant posts? How many posts are you intending to fill in this financial layout? Notwithstanding the decrease in the budget, especially in the administration side, and the impact that it will have on the operation of the department. Then the second one. Why the Southgate was presenting you? You presented five legislation that the department is initiating to take. But when looking at the annual performance plan, it's not clear when are you intending to table them? Because at the end of the day, we avoid the situation whereby the legislation are being tabled in the last, you know, year of the term. So we have to run around with the committee, you know, once to pass minister legislation. But we're looking at the annual performance plan. It's not clear when I intending to table this, those legislation in Parliament. Rural development, I don't think that this is a new program of the department. But I was worried when looking at the plan because they're talking of developing the package, whether it's developing or reviewing, you know, can you be excited? Or you're starting the strategy afresh, or you're reviewing the existing strategy. What is happening so that at the end of the day, you know what is it that you will be doing? The HR strategy that you're talking about again, because you're saying you will develop a strategy. Was there no strategy? Are you planning to initiate the new, develop a new strategy, or we are reviewing the existing strategy, the HR strategy?
The litigation against the department
for the HR strategy
from Central Provider and all citizens. And are they litigations against us, or the litigation team are against other people? So I just want to know. And
facility. As we've been talking
talking about the institutions in Africa, you know, because this facility is the one that is assisting people who have been evicted in the front. Any budget in the plan, because I was just checking whether have we budgeted for that, because it happens at any time. Not that it's going to happen now because of this proposed policy. Honorable Fulton, then it depends on the time.
Thank you, Chair. I think the question in terms of the mega co-op, you're correct. The intention is that it will be established via the NARISEC that we have at the moment, and it will be obviously those that come into the program would also contribute into this mega cooperative. We do believe that, yes, they are on a stipend, but we do believe that the figure that we are setting as a once-off contribution in terms of the mega cooperative, they will be able to manage. We are busy consulting at the moment. We are following a consultation plan, and even the strategy itself, the full strategy for the mega co-op, is what is being developed, and we will finalize that then in the second quarter before we launch. So those, all of those issues, we are busy developing specific actions for each one of them. But we believe it can be done. And we are consulting them quite seriously in terms of that. We have been working with the NARISEC, especially those who will be exiting the program, in terms of the development of a good exit strategy, and this is part of that exit strategy for them, and they are quite excited actually in terms of the cooperative model. The issue, Chair, that you asked in terms of 3.2.2, the rural development strategy and systems. Indeed, we already have a rural development strategy, and we have an agrarian transformation strategy under which we are working as a department. This, the focus here is more in terms of enhancement around the systems to support this particular strategy, the systems to implement, as well as the systems in terms of support of all of the municipalities that we are working in. So that is what is meant in terms of 3.2.2. It's not necessarily a new rural development strategy. Thanks.
In relation to the HOD strategy, it's a 3-year cycle that we go in terms of the prescripts from DPSA. So we're busy reviewing the current one and putting in place a new human resource development strategy for the department. With regard to the question on vacancies and vacancy rates, the department employed or took into service over 1,400 new employees last year. Unfortunately, the almost like turnover rate where people exit for promotion, mainly in terms of our exit interview data, was 769 people left for the employer of the department for other government departments and other places of work in the majority. So you basically competing with the moment you fill a post, you lose one, or you fold two plus, or even two plus, you lose somebody else. And that's, we're trying to develop a strategy to respond to that, where we can attract and retain our staff members. We also have, as I mentioned in my presentation, various critical skills. People who work in geomatics, people who are public planners, and having to develop a response to the shortage of those skill types in government across the country. And remember, we support the local government authorities as well. We've done research and analysis in that regard and seen how we can capacitate them when it comes to those skill shortages as well. And we're developing the plans. In terms of the litigation matters, I cannot respond immediately. We'll have to just get a list of the litigation matters, but just the context in terms of the types of litigation that we're looking at, if we could get more clarity in terms of that. And I think, Madam Chair, you had a question with regard to something. I can't recall now. The bills, the legislative program in terms of the bills that will be coming to you. I think I will get the program for you. It has been tabled as I think the legal services component has worked out, and I'll be able to tell you at which stage each of the bills are. But I'll provide that to you.
Madam Chair, as DG Southgate has said, the Minister has approved the legislative program. What we can confirm is that perhaps except for one, all the five bills have gone beyond the policy development stage. In other words, there are bills that have been drafted beyond the policy team. So we have separated policy development from legislative drafting. So four of the five have gone beyond the policy development phase. And I do know for a fact that in the program, all five would have gone to cabinet for approval by December this year. All five would have gone to cabinet for approval. Whether or not cabinet approves, I think that's the prerogative of cabinet. We cannot determine after that whether cabinet will say go for 30 days for consultation or for 60 days, or they will refer us back for further research. That is the timeline we can put on the table. On the land rights management facility, yes, it is in the operational plan. It is targeted. It is budgeted for. But one of the bills on the legislative program, that is the amendment of the Extension of Tenure Security Act, ESTA, it seeks to create or institutionalize within the department the provision of legal assistance to labor tenants. And farm dwellers and people who are facing eviction. So in other words, we will phase out the land rights management facility as we know it now, but create it within that legislation. That's one of the reasons why we are amending that legislation. We'll create the land rights management board and the land rights management committees that are going to be decentralized. At least to a level of a district where many of these challenges occur. Thank you. Only consulting.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'm sure honourable members will remember about 2 years ago the AG presented a finding or a report on the use of consultants in government. Following that and other initiatives within government, broadly government-wide, there is a move that we create the capacity of the state needs to improve, and that we should place less reliance on the use of consultants. So that's by and large the intention of the department. Over the years, would see a decrease in the amount of money that we use on consultants. One example in our own department would be when we were setting up internal audit. I mean, you would have had honourable members in the earlier presentation by the Auditor General, where they spoke about the capacity of our internal audit component, and they are happy with the work that they are doing. We for a while we had been using consultants. We have over the years been reducing the use of consultants and increasing the number of people that are employed within the internal audit component. That's just one example of how we are saying, even though we do decrease the use of consultants, we will achieve what we set out to achieve, because we are creating internal capacity within the department. Internal audit just being one example. We accept that there are areas where we may not completely cease using consultants because of the nature of the work that we're talking about in specific areas, but where we should, we will be using internal capacity.
Thank you very much. Can you please get a briefing because while you're discussing, we're touching also on the budgetary issues. So just a brief about the budgetary.
I must say that our presentation is really a very small one. We are just showing the numbers as they are. I think this is not the correct one. Sorry. Sorry, I just need to find the correct one.
Thank you very much. Thank you.